This podcast was recorded Thursday, October 14th at 11.05 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like State House lawmakers no longer will worry about vaccine mandates or mask mandates or COVID restrictions.
Seems what Speaker Kupp is doing.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those Snollygosters or shrewd politicians who more than anyone hope COVID goes away so they can stop trying to make everyone happy. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, a correction. We have a correction that leads to our Snollygoster of the week.
But first, most believe it is a matter of when, not if, Ohio legalizes recreational marijuana. 18 states, including neighboring Michigan, have fully legalized pot. There's now a lot of money to be made and taxed. And there is a looming ballot question that could force lawmakers' hands if voters approve it.
Voters rejected a proposed legalization amendment 6 years ago. Another effort in 2020 never got off the ground because of COVID. Now, a pair of Republican lawmakers proposed legalizing marijuana for anyone over 21. Republican State Reps Jamie Callender and Ron Ferguson are proposing a bill that would make recreational marijuana legal for adults 21 and over. It would build upon the current medical marijuana system, and the state would tax marijuana sales at 10%.
Joining us now about the proposal is one of its sponsors, Representative Jamie Callender. Mr. Callender, welcome to Snollygoster.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
In your press conference introducing this, you said legal marijuana is something whose time has come. Why now?
Because we couldn't get it through last year.
Is this a personal passion of yours?
Well, it is. I think it just makes sense. Look, we have went through prohibition of alcohol in the 20s and 30s, I think that's what we're looking at now. We've had a prohibition on marijuana for the last 110 years or whatever now, and I think it's time to lift that. I think the general population is lifting it itself. It's more prevalent than it has been at any time in my memory, in my lifetime, and I'm in my mid-50s, so that's pretty long time at this point. And we're seeing states left and right. I mean, we've got states as diverse as Michigan and Alabama and Colorado that have legalization. We as Ohio have the advantage of having seen all of these states do it and learned what worked and what didn't. And I know there's folks out there concerned about 16-year-olds buying weed at a convenience store on their way home from school. And so we have the opportunity to take those concerns and fears and take what's good and what's bad at other programs and take our outstanding medical program here in Ohio and expand that into the adult use while making sure we protect against those things that some of the opponents are worried about.
You know, current medical marijuana's industry players, you know, the growers, the distributors, and the retailers would, under your proposal, would just start selling to everyone. You don't need the medical marijuana card. Does that give them an unfair advantage? Should you open it up even more than just the medical marijuana folks now?
We do, because there will be certainly an increase in demand at that point, and their current system is really stretched. So we'll have to bring new folks in. We'll use the same system, however, as far as checks and balances and oversight to make sure that we maintain the same quality, the same access and controlled access that we have under the medical program. But there'll certainly be an expansion. The way things work in Ohio legislatively, by the time this passes and we get the rules through to open it up, I think there'll be ample opportunity for some new folks to enter the industry, but they will go through the same rigorous background checks and controls that the folks that are currently in the medical get. We want to make sure that that quality control stays there. That's a big component of the proposal.
There has been some criticism of how the medical marijuana program has gone. It took a while for it to get going, and there are still some retail establishments that aren't that aren't open yet because of regulations and prompting some complaints from the folks in the business that this, it was too onerous. Might your bill make it a little easier for a recreational marijuana shop to open up?
It's not going to make it easier because we want to make sure that we have, again, the quality control. However, again, we have the benefit of hindsight on some of the problems with that. There was, for example, a set aside for minority businesses that minority ownership in the industry that was struck down by the Supreme Court. And that slowed us down and also kept us from being able to assure that certain underrepresented communities had an opportunity to get involved in this industry. So we're going to approach it a little bit differently to try to correct that error by the Supreme Court and make sure that we remove some of the barriers to entry that are there now without lowering the quality and the standards that were demanding of the folks entering the industry.
You want to remove some of those barriers. Your proposal would also provide a path for people who have been convicted of marijuana crimes to get their records sealed or expunged. Explain why you're seeking to do that.
Well, again, these are folks who have done things that are becoming more and more socially acceptable, that are going to be legalized under our proposal, and it seems really unfair that someone that did something that's not a crime at this point suffers by having that on their record when they go to apply for a job, when they go to apply for admission to certain academic programs. It just seems patently unfair. So I think it's incumbent upon us to address those issues and make sure folks in that situation have an opportunity to not be burdened by something that's no longer illegal.
Yeah. Representative, I appreciate your confidence. You're saying things like when this bill passes and it's going to be legalized. I'm sure you know you are still, at least publicly, in the minority when it comes to your party about this. The House Speaker opposes this idea. The Senate President opposes it. The Governor opposes it. How do you plan on getting it passed?
Well, I have this maybe somewhat naive thought that once we are able to bring this into the light and talk about it and take away the stigma that the old war on drugs created for marijuana use, that we'll be able to convince folks that, you know, this really is the right thing to do. It really is the correct thing to do. It really is the best public policy. And if that doesn't work, we can point to ballot initiatives or potential future ballot initiatives that say, and if we don't do it, somebody else will do it to us, and we won't have control over access and how the program works.
Well, speaking of that, your bill does seem very similar to the proposed initiated statute legislation supporters are pushing. Is this a preemptive strike against that effort to give lawmakers complete control over any recreational marijuana legalization process?
No. We started working on this quite a while before that was announced and before that was before the initiation petition was initiated. So, no, it was not in any way intended for that purpose nor created for that purpose. However, for some of the Republican, especially legislators who are not naturally inclined to vote for this or support it, it does give an extra argument to them for us to advocate for them to hold their nose and vote for it.
Yeah, because you'd have the lawmakers, like that's what happened with medical marijuana. The lawmakers decided to let's do it ourselves so the state has complete control, whether that was a right decision or wrong decision, but you took the reins. The legislature took the reins at that point.
It was the right decision for the wrong reason.
Have you talked to the group at all? Have you had any communication with them? Because, you know, I'm sure that if they get the signatures they need to get this before lawmakers, there might be some communication to say what's it going to take to not have this go to the ballot fully.
I haven't had that discussion. A lot of their supporters are also supporters of what I'm doing. And so I've talked to a lot of the folks that are involved in that ballot initiative. I'm not opposed to the ballot initiative at all. And I don't see this as a competition between the two at all. I think some of the points that both of us would like to have more public and more out there as far as the actual health issues with marijuana, how it is not a gateway drug, as the old wives' tale goes, that it is less addictive than, significantly less addictive than alcohol. You know, we need to, we both need to get some of those things out there into the public, and thanks to folks like you, you know, we're going to have the opportunity to, I think there's enough interest in this that it's both them and us will be working to educate folks that have some predisposed bias for the wrong reasons.
That is the argument. We've already heard it when the group announced their ballot effort, is that here's the Ohio that is dealing with a terrible opioid abuse epidemic, and folks are dying by thousands every year. We don't need to be legalizing any more drugs. How do you respond to that?
Well, ironically, if you look at the addiction issue that we do have, and it is a serious problem in Ohio and nationwide and worldwide at this point, it's primarily an opiate addiction problem, whether it's the overdoses or the addictions that, that are just so severe, it's really hard to terminate those addictions. There is a school of thought that is growing very rapidly among addiction recovery specialists that as you're going through withdrawal, the pain and the cravings, that marijuana is actually helpful in stepping down, more so than some of the commonly used methadone type things for alleviating some of our addiction issues. So because it's still scheduled by the federal government, they aren't able to do large-scale studies. But there's a number of practitioners that are actually believe that it would be helpful to alleviate some of the addiction problems we have. So I think that's a fallacious argument that legalizing marijuana leads to more addiction. The opiate is a separate thing, and I think we need to dispel the old wives' tale about the gateway drug as well. And I think that's incumbent upon us as advocates for this to get those messages out there.
You know, addiction is a very serious topic. Marijuana is also a topic rife with puns and jokes, right? I think this is the world record, but the longest Mike and I have ever done a segment on marijuana without making a joke at this point. This is the part of the show where we mention that you have a ponytail, and that I want to be frank here, and I know you're an attorney and a college professor. I don't know what you can say. Do you yourself smoke marijuana, and do you know of lawmakers who smoke marijuana?
Oh, I think that's a question that begs a humorous answer rather than a serious answer. So I'll let you guess. I play the banjo. I spend time at music venues. I have a ponytail. You know, you just make whatever assumption you want.
You know, if I had to, for our listeners who don't know, you do have a nice head of hair. It's salt and pepper, perhaps more salt and pepper with a ponytail.
Looks great.
If you were to pick a Republican lawmaker who would be advocating for legalized legal recreational marijuana, I think that would be the picture that would go along with it. So we have to give you credit there anyway. So,
well, and when the ponytail's not down, people think I'm Jerry Garcia's ghost because, you know, being heavy set, glasses, and the
lean into it. Just go ahead and sponsor a bill to legalize marijuana.
It's a libertarian look too, you know. It's not just
as a kid, you know, you always want to grow up and look like a rock star. I just didn't pick Jerry Garcia as the one I wanted to.
Well, you're a banjo star, not that far off.
Yeah, we all get there, I guess. Some of us lose our hair, some of it turns gray. So, Representative Jamie Callender, thanks very much for joining us here on Snollygoster.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I don't know if you listen to the radio, but if you do listen to 89.7 NPR News, WOSU-FM here in Columbus, where we are based, we are in the midst of our fall membership drive. That's where we ask folks who listen to give money. So if you like what you hear each and every week here on Snollygoster, our irreverent humor, our attempts at humor anyway, and the insight we bring you each week with regards to Ohio politics, we urge you to become a member of WOSU and support what we do financially. The best way to do that is to go to our website, WOSU.org, and click on the Donate Now button. And thank you for supporting Snollygoster and WOSU Public Media.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. No surprise that it would be hard to get the Republican legislature to legalize marijuana, unless you're Jamie Callender. What a great guest. What a fun guest.
Yes, that was fun.
But you would think it would be easy to get lawmakers to pass a bill limiting vaccine mandates, right? The current Republican Party, you think that's easy.
You thought it was a given. You recall last spring, lawmakers voted to restrict Governor DeWine's ability to issue health orders. GOP lawmakers overrode the governor's veto of that bill. So given that, you would think they'd be able to get enough votes to severely limit vaccine mandates.
But it's one thing for a lawmaker to limit government, and another thing for a lawmaker, particularly a Republican lawmaker, to limit what private companies do. They do not like doing that. That's what the latest proposal would do. It would allow for exemptions to any vaccine mandate imposed by a private company or school. And there are exceptions for some medical workers, but anyone else, you could get out of the vaccine if you don't want to take it.
That's right. The exemptions were for medical or religious reasons, for natural immunity from COVID, and also reasons of conscience. But once again, Ohio House leadership tabled it, saying there was no consensus to move forward. House Speaker Bob Kupp seems like, you know, he's had enough, certainly of COVID, and now debates over COVID mandates.
We put in countless hours, not only weeks, but months on this bill with all kinds of input. And so it's time now to move on to other important topics.
Time to move on, Mike. That's pretty definitive.
Yeah, he's done with this stuff. You could hear it in his voice. And they asked him again, are the bills still out there? Are you going to look at those? And he said, nope, it's time to move on. So I think there will be efforts to impose more restrictions on what the government can do with regards to COVID, but they cannot find a bill that pleases both the conservatives who want to ban the mandates outright and pro-business conservatives who want to give companies the freedom to require vaccines of their employees if they want.
It's almost like COVID is going to continue being controversial in the measures around it are going to continue being controversial.
One could say we have divided government in Ohio right now.
Yeah.
It's divided in the Republican Party.
Bob Kupp does sort of strike you as a Chamber of Commerce Republican, right? He does not seem like a fire-breathing, far-right, ultra-conservative guy. He's just, you know, he's a former Supreme Court justice. He's not, right. he certainly, in tone, is a moderate.
No.
And I'm not surprised he did this. He's in a tough position, and rank has its privilege, so if he doesn't like a bill, it's not coming up for a vote.
And it's not. They've spent months on this, and they cannot reach a consensus, and they can't get the votes. So why bring it to the floor? Let's move on to other things, and let's hope. We have seen a decline in cases. It's a slow decline, but we have seen a decline in cases over the past few weeks. Let's hope that COVID is finally starting to leave us, and all of these debates will become moot, at least for now.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, something else will come up, but at least for now.
Well, you know, like we said at the top, we really hope that COVID goes away so we can all move on to something else. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but fingers crossed. Anyway, moving on to our Snollygoster of the Week award. Last week, when we were talking about Governor Mike DeWine's well-documented trip to the U.S.-Mexico border, we noted that while he took criticism, at least his lieutenant governor did not try to grab power while he was away.
Yes, that's what happened in Idaho. While Governor Brad Little was in Texas for the Border Security News Conference, his lieutenant governor, Janice McGeehan, took over. Well, not completely, but she ordered the Idaho National Guard to guard the U.S.-Mexico border. She expanded Governor Little's executive order banning vaccine passports while he was out of state.
It was her moment, Mike. She wasn't messing around. We incorrectly admonished Lieutenant Governor McGeehan for ignoring her civics class. In fact, she was completely in the right, at least according to the Idaho Constitution, that allows the lieutenant governor to take control if the governor is out of state.
So we don't think Governor Little will be traveling much over the upcoming holidays. So for the legal power grab, Idaho Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan gets our Snollygoster of the Week, and we apologize for not reading the Idaho Constitution as carefully as she did.
I did not read it at all. I just assumed that she was not acting within the law. That is, what a great story.
I wonder if
that's
Governor
hilarious.
Little is a skier, because there are some great ski
sure.
resorts in that neck of the woods, but are outside of Idaho. So now he can't even go skiing or go to Salt Lake City if he wanted to.
And he could take her with her?
I'm not sure they would be travel partners.
If they both go, who's in charge? The Speaker of the House?
Probably. That'll be next week. We'll read up on the Constitution.
Anyway, Janice McGeehan, you are our Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes and tell your friends about us. For our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.
One toe over the line, sweet Jesus, one toe over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line. Been a changing, as you can plainly see. I felt the joy and I learned about the pain.